In the name of one God, holy Trinity.
Today's gospel is kind of a prelude to what is about to come in a couple days on Christmas when we celebrate Jesus' birthday. Today we have Luke's account of what happened on the day that Mary went to visit her relative Elizabeth. All good stories have a backstory, I believe, whether it's implied or whether it's stated. And today's story has a backstory too, because today's story takes place shortly after the angel Gabriel took Mary by surprise, kind of ambushed her really in a way, and told her she was going to bear a son. Oh yeah, and it was going to be God's son. Mary, of course, was blown away by this news because she tells Gabriel, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." And Gabriel says, "Don't sweat the details, Mary. We've got this. This is how it's going to be." And first she ponders the angel's words in her heart. In other words, she sits in the presence of the angel's announcement and the angel's assurance. And then she accepts what she's been given with that beautiful statement, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." The angel disappears, and Mary is left to her own devices. So all that leads up to what happens in today's reading. And I love what Mary does here. She didn't sit around and wonder what she was going to do about this to get through this surprise pregnancy. She didn't isolate herself or try to figure it out on her own. She set out and went with haste to visit her relative, Elizabeth. And I think that is so telling and so beautiful. Confronted with amazing, troubling news, the young pregnant virgin immediately goes to find the old, wise, also pregnant, woman whom she trusts to tell the news to her. She goes searching for connection. Notice she didn't run straight to Joseph now to tell him, "Hey, Joseph, I'm pregnant here, but it's okay. Holy Spirit did this." At least we aren't told in this story that she went and told Joseph right away. She went to the woman who she knew would understand. I'm not about to say here that there's this divide between men and women that can't be crossed. But what I am saying is that I believe that women understand one another in ways that we men can hardly fathom. And though I find it a little threatening, and I have the feeling that most men do, I want to acknowledge that you women have something, you have some innate connection with one another that is beautiful and pretty mysterious to most of us guys. You know where to go when something good or sometimes something troubling happens. You go to one another. I love that. Nurture those connections. Rely on them when you're at your best or at your worst, in your joy and in your pain. We men who really struggle most of the time to turn to one another to connect because we've been taught not to, well, we might learn something here. Learn to be even a little vulnerable with one another, to connect if we can, and I think that a lot of the world's problems would probably be eased if we could do that. But let's not make this all about the men. Let's go back to the story for a moment. Elizabeth returns Mary's greeting with a loud cry. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb," she says. Elizabeth blesses Mary, and she blesses their bodily presence together. And it's such a wonderful symmetry. Here we have Elizabeth, old, pregnant, never imagining that she would bear a child. And then we have Mary, young, pregnant, a virgin, unmarried, vulnerable in her youth. and in her condition, and they come together in love and joy. They celebrate God's gifts, God's miraculous working in their lives. And that's one message we can hear in today's reading, this message of joy, connection, and presence. And if we listen, we can also hear another message in Mary's song, which we have come to call the Magnificat. It's not in our bulletin today, it's not printed as a song. In other sources, it is. And if you're interested to see that, if you look in the Book of Common Prayer under In Morning Prayer, you will see the Song of Mary written as a canticle, which is a hymn or a chant. It's not clear to whom Mary is even singing this song. Is it to Elizabeth? Is it to herself? To God? To us? I think she might have just sung it out of pure joy, unselfconsciously, as if nobody was listening. But today we are listening. We're going to try to listen to Mary's hymn, to this strange little piece of scripture, try to find some meaning in it for us here in the waning days of 2018. And I think it bears reading again. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." So she begins her song with praise and with blessing. "My soul magnifies the Lord." She goes on to sing about how fortunate she is to be the mother of the Son of God, and predicts that in the future, people will remember her for her part in bringing God's love into the world in the body of a baby from her own human body. No wonder she wanted to magnify the importance of what was about to happen, and her gratitude to God for this gift. And then the tone of her song takes an interesting turn. I don't know if she was emboldened by the wise woman, Elizabeth, or did carrying Jesus in her womb give her some special God-given knowledge? But whatever prompted her, she was inspired, that is, she was breathed into and breathed through by the Holy Spirit. She sounds more like a prophet in the rest of this song than the meek, mild, young, pregnant virgin identified by most of Christianity through the centuries. And here's her bold claim of how God acts in the world. "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." These are bold statements for a young girl to make. I wonder how they sounded to the religious and political leaders of the day. Perhaps back then it was easy to dismiss the prophetic song of Mary. Sure, she was the mother of God, but nonetheless, she was just a girl. What did she know? She sings then, with the coming of God's love into the world in the flesh of Jesus, her unborn child, the religious, political, and social world will literally be turned upside down. The proud will be scattered, the powerful will be brought low, the hungry will be fed, and the rich will be emptied out. Maybe it's easier for us to imagine this song sung by a young girl or a woman today in our world, where girls' and women's voices are thankfully calling out and demanding to be heard. Can we be present to the revolution that Mary is prophesying? It is challenging. As we sit in this warm church today, well-fed, satisfied for the most part, how does this foretaste of the kingdom of God sit with us? When the world is turned upside down, where will we find ourselves? Well, my hope is that Mary's song challenges us to do the work that we've already begun at St. John's with even more determination. We've spent the last year dreaming dreams and prophesying a better world in Jackson and beyond, because we know that we are co-creators with God in His creation. We fill blue bags, we give gifts of time and money to those less fortunate than us. We pay power bills for those in crisis. We do this because we're doing our best to be followers of Jesus. We work with others to provide stable homes for those who have none, and we do that because we hear Mary's song of a better world. We gather in small groups and large groups, creating family bonds, taking our cue from Mary and Elizabeth, who came together to support one another. And we challenge each other to be the best human beings that we can be, because we know that a baby was born 2,000 and some odd years ago, the Son of God in the flesh, because God loves us all, unconditionally, always. This is the fourth and last Sunday of Advent. We've been trying to be present during Advent as a practice, present to God's Word and to God's love, present to one another, present to the world for 4 weeks now. We've been reminded by our little zipper pulls that have one word printed on them, present. And I love that word and that idea so much, because I love ambiguity. Not either or, but both and. Present. It means I am present to all of the great mystery that is life in God's creation. It means present. This is the present, this moment, when God is alive in me and in you. And it means present, a gift, given with unconditional love, received with gratitude. This year, Fourth Advent is followed immediately by Christmas Eve, and it doesn't always happen that way. Often there's a day or more in between Fourth Advent and Christmas Eve. Last year, Fourth Advent and Christmas Eve were on the same day. Was that ever confusing? But I feel like this year, it's a great gift to us. It's a gift to us who are present to the miracle of the birth of Jesus. God's Son is a gift to us in this dark time of year, and perhaps in this dark year, when rifts that divide us seem to get ever deeper with every news cycle. I hesitate to say that nothing has happened in the last 2,000 years, that nothing has changed, because clearly much has changed in 2,000 years. But we still need to listen to old Elizabeth and young Mary and to work for God's kingdom. We need to listen for Mary's song, even as we sing Happy Birthday to Jesus tomorrow and the next day. And we need to continue to respond to Mary's song the next day after that and the day after that. So let us magnify God in Jackson Hole and in the world beyond, in our lives and in our actions. Let's live our lives in ways that magnify. Let's sing out our lives like songs. Amen.